And while you're doing that, just a little bit more about myself. I am studying criminal justice through Liberty University Online with an emphasis in juvenile justice and a minor in Christian counseling. I'm on track to graduate this August. I'd also like to thank Pastor for this opportunity to preach this evening. I did spend some time at Ambassador, so I do understand. Normally you have 3 points in a poem. However, being a criminal justice major, I have the 3 points, but not the poem. So you have to bear with me this evening. But our verse this evening, Luke 12:48, reads, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, him shall be much required. Of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time we have to come together this evening. We pray that you would just be with us now. Pray that you just empty me of myself. We pray that you would speak to your people through your word this evening. And we pray that you'd help us to learn something we could apply to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening I'd like to look at the idea of a mistake of the mind versus a mistake of the heart. A mistake of the mind is sometimes referred to as an honest mistake. These mistakes are part of being human. It's part of learning any new skill. But with both of these mistakes, there's consequences. There's always consequences. When we make mistakes, we're held accountable for what we know and what we should know at that time when that decision is made. And we can see an example of this in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. The Philistines were not held to the same standard as the children of Israel concerning the treatment of the Ark of the Covenant. The specific instructions concerning the treatment of the Ark were given to the children of Israel, and they were held to such a standard. And we can see an example of that in 2 Samuel 6:7 with Uzziah, who reached out to catch the ark when it was falling and was killed for it. The Philistines were not held to that same standard because they had not received those same instructions. So we see there that we're held accountable for what we know or should know, but if those that don't are not held to that same standard. In the criminal justice system and in the legal system, there are, I believe it's 7 concepts or ideas that make up a crime. You have the guilty act, the guilty mind, the fusion of the guilty act and guilty intent, attendant circumstances, result, and legal defenses. We're not going to consider all those this evening. We're only going to be concerned with what's considered the corpus delicti, which is the basic idea of the mens rea and the actus reus. The mens rea being the guilty mind and the actus reus being the guilty act. So there's, without one of those, a crime has not taken place. So when we consider how that fits in with the mistake of the mind, we can consider that being the guilty act without the guilty mind. We weren't intending, we weren't disobeying, we weren't purposefully seeking out to do wrong. So with the absence of a guilty mind, criminal charges are more complicated to pursue in the criminal justice system. That's where we get the idea of different degrees, or we have manslaughter versus murder. It has to do with the idea of how much criminal intent there was behind the actions that took place leading up to that crime. For petty offenses, a defense of mistake of fact is recognized as a legitimate defense against criminal charges. An example that's often given in my criminal justice classes is 2 books. You have 2 people, they each own 1 book, they look exactly the same. They both set them down in the same area, and without even thinking, the first person walks up and picks up the 2nd book. So it's not their book. Has a crime taken place? A crime has not taken place. A criminal act has taken place. They took something that did not belong to them. However, there was no criminal intent behind it. They were not intending to deprive someone of their property. So a crime has not taken place. So that's something we're going to see with the mistake of the mind versus a mistake of the heart. It's the difference between intent. Another idea we see in the Bible is the idea of graduated accountability. As we study the Bible more, as we grow closer to God, we become more aware of the principles and the things that God would desire of us, and we're held accountable for those. The same can even be said of our workplace. As you're given more responsibility, you're given charge over other people, you're held to a higher standard. Numbers 15:27 states, "And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering." And then in verse 30 states, "But the soul that doth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people." So here the Bible is differentiating between someone who makes a mistake for ignorance and someone who purposefully makes a mistake, knowing that they should have known better. And we see the same idea reflected in Luke 12:48. "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." So again, we see that those that didn't know any better but still made a mistake, there's still a punishment, but it's not the same as those who purposefully go out to commit or to do something wrong against someone else. So that brings us to the next mistake. We had the mistake of the mind, and now we're going to take a look at the mistake of the heart. A mistake of the heart is different than a mistake of the mind in that it is a purposeful decision to do the wrong thing, knowing what the appropriate course of action is. A mistake of the mind stems from a lack of knowledge concerning a new situation, while a mistake of the heart stems from a lack of character or resolution to do the right thing when the knowledge or necessary principles to do the right thing are ignored. So an example of this, when we bring back to the criminal act and the criminal mind, would be murder. In order for a murder charge to be brought against someone, there has to be the criminal act or the taking of someone's life, and there has to be that intent. If the prosecution is unable to prove that intent, then they cannot get first-degree murder. That's when you get the different degrees or even manslaughter. And we can see in the Bible multiple examples of people who made a mistake of the heart. Not only did they do something that was wrong, they did something that was wrong knowing what they should have done in the first place. Adam and Eve were commanded in Genesis 2:17 not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they had prior knowledge of what was right and what was expected of their conduct. Yet they still chose to violate God's commandment for personal pleasure. Another example is Jonah, who received the word of the Lord to go preach in Nineveh. However, he allowed his personal opinions and fear to cause him to willfully disobey God as he sought to flee to Tarshish. And then in the New Testament, we also see the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:16-22. And he asked Jesus personally what he must do to have eternal life. Though he thought he qualified by keeping the commandments, he was unwilling to forsake everything he had and follow Jesus. So in each of those examples, each of those people knew exactly what was expected of their conduct from a personal relationship they had with God, however brief that may have been, and they still chose to do the wrong thing. So now that we've considered a mistake of the mind versus a mistake of the heart, there's also something else we have to consider, especially considering a mistake of the heart, and that's willful ignorance. Now, this is a topic that's addressed in the criminal justice field as well as the Bible. It's the purposeful avoidance of knowledge that you should have had at the time an act took place. Hosea 4:6 speaks to this when it says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So there we see God identifying and charging the people with rejecting knowledge and telling them what the consequences of their actions are. Much of society today is the same way. They have forsaken learning and acquiring knowledge. However, the Bible, as well as individuals instrumental in the development of English and American law, state that willful or purposeful ignorance is not an excuse to do wrong. William Blackstone, who was influential in the development of English law, which later influenced American law, stated, "Ignorance of the law, which everyone is bound to know, excuses no man." So now that we've identified a mistake of the mind versus a mistake of the heart, and how those are illustrated throughout the Bible, it's worth considering how a mistake of the heart should influence our actions here on this earth as we look to reach others and to serve God in our local church. Our verse this evening concludes at the end, Luke 12:48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Everyone sitting in this room has an established level or understanding of what is right or wrong based on their conscience and the word of God. It is our responsibility to live according to this knowledge, pursue further knowledge and understanding, and encourage others to do the same. Knowledge of the difference between a mistake of the mind and a mistake of the heart should affect us in three ways, the first being our personal testimony. It has often been said that we may be the only Bible people ever read, and the Bible very clearly states what's expected of us as Christians in our personal conduct outside of the church and inside the church. 1 Peter 3:15 states, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And then Matthew chapter 5, a passage many of us are familiar with, "Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So as Christians, we now have that understanding of what is expected of our conduct. So doing anything contrary to that is a mistake of the heart. It is a willful decision to ignore what God expects of us in our conduct and how we approach others. The second way that a mistake of the mind versus the mistake of the heart should affect us is how we search the Scriptures. The Bible also makes it very clear that we are to search the Scriptures in John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And then we have an example of those that did in Acts 17:11. Those were more noble than they in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So that's where we're commanded as Christians that we need to be in the Word of God, seeking after God. So again, doing anything contrary is a mistake of the heart rather than simply a mistake of the mind, because we have been charged and it's made clear through the Bible what's expected of us. Proverbs 1 verse 7 states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then in chapter 15 verse 14, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." So again, that the Bible's making very plainly clear the difference between those who seek out knowledge and wisdom and how that's going after the things of the Lord versus the people who despise wisdom and instruction or feed off foolishness, and the difference between those two and how that the Lord does expect us to be seeking after knowledge. And the final way that a mistake of the heart versus the mistake of the mind should affect our lives is through how we disciple others. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20 states, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." So this verse makes it very clear for us as Christians what we are expected to do is to go out and teach others so that they may as well seek after knowledge, to seek after the Lord. And yes, for them that does heighten the level of accountability that's expected of them. However, for us, that is what we are expected to do as Christians. So as we conclude this evening, it's important to consider knowledge as a powerful resource and a burden. Making mistakes is part of being human. It is our responsibility to ensure that we make the best decisions with the knowledge we have, the understanding we have of Scripture, and with God's help. As we draw close to God, we should endeavor to make the right decisions based on our understanding of biblical principles, because that's what we've seen this evening is expected of us as we make our decisions and how we reach others. Christianity is not passive. Rather, we are to actively pursue God, His Word, and others. Mistakes are inevitable. It's part of being human here on this fallen earth. It's our responsibility to grow and learn from our mistakes, and then in turn help others to learn from those mistakes so that they can avoid making the same ones. Pastor.